Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for continued coverage of The Challenge, Season 37, Spies, Lies, and Allies. I am Matt. I am back this week. Big shout out to Matt Gagan for filling in for me last week and for Scally for holding the fort down. But neither of those guys are here this week. Scally is a little busy and also has a bit of a cough, kind of holding him back from being with us tonight. So I have a very special guest making her Challenge podcasting debut, and I'm very excited to have her here to do so. Welcome to the Dom and Colin podcast, Jenny Autumn.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here, Matt. I was very, very excited when you asked me if I was available to do this because I have never gotten to talk about The Challenge. And I really don't think that you and I ever get a chance to podcast together. So this is like doubly exciting and great for me. So thank you for having me.
I say this at risk of like being in trouble if we ever have. But have we ever podcasted?
I don't know. I don't think we have. I was thinking about it earlier, too. And I was like, am I just forgetting? Like, I don't know if we've been on a panel together, which is just criminal.
It's also the thing that like the panels are all so like there's so many, there's four people there at a time, like it's impossible to remember who is
to remember all of them. But I feel like I would remember. I feel like it would be a memorable experience.
And you're also not a Glee fan, so we've never, you never came over there.
Yeah, so I'm a big disappointment there, sorry. But you know what, I'm glad we're finally getting our moment. So yeah, I'm popping all sorts of cherries tonight, so this is great.
This is exciting. I'm very excited. I'm also not distracted because we're not recording on Thursday night when there's an HOH competition happening
definitely
to my right.
Definitely
nothing happening on that end of things. But yes, excited to be here. Jenny, are you a newer Challenge fan or have you been watching for a long time? I truly have no idea.
I am newer. I'm a bad Challenge fan. Like right off the top, I will not claim to be a like good Challenge fan or definitely not a historian. So I definitely started. It's funny because I watched the other MTV shows earlier than I started watching The Challenge. So I watched like a few seasons of The Real World like before that stopped really being a thing. Mm-hmm. And then I've watched almost every season of Are You the One? And then it was when they started having like Are You the One and Big Brother people on The Challenge that I started actively paying attention. And then that was probably around the same time that I was like getting more involved in like the podcast community. And I mm-hmm. noticed that a lot of my friends in the podcast community were also watching The Challenge pretty regularly. So I started watching then. I will say that there are some seasons that I haven't seen, obviously, and there are some seasons that I haven't seen the full season. There's been a couple times where I didn't make it the full way through. And I know what happens, obviously, but I didn't finish watching all of the episodes. There are a few seasons that are just ungodly long. And I have a really bad attention span.
This one will be one of those as well.
This isn't like the biggest cast ever or something. Like there's so many people.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you add in the alternates that made it onto the season, like, yeah, right. There's a lot of people out here and they already said it was going to be like the full 19 episodes, which is I think what last season was or something like that. It's just, you know, we're out of August now, but it started in early to mid August. It's going to go all the way to like Christmas. So
what a weird time to start too. Like I
know.
Genuinely confused when I heard everyone like getting ready for it to start. I'm like, are we ahead of the game here?
We're not
like,
getting ready by choice.
And then I was like, oh, okay, August. This is such a bizarre time to start a show. But
yeah.
With the alternates and all of that, like could they not have just said, okay, these people are gone for whatever reason. We've saved some time.
I mean, essentially, that's what they did with like Lauren that, you know, disappeared. And here's Amber. So but
they weren't going. But with the Lauren, like Lauren could have disappeared and then they could have just done kind of what they did with Tommy last week, where they're like, instead of bringing in another person, they just like do like a one person elimination or mm-hmm. something like that. Like, do we need all of these people? But, you know, I guess they had so many of these people on speed dial just ready to drop what they were doing and,
yes.
and come. Or quarantining already.
Exactly.
So.
With the quarantine, with the, you know, the extra backups, like the more than usual. So they have 100 people ready to go. Everybody goes into quarantine. And next thing you know, we have, you know, as many people as they can possibly fit onto the cast to be here. And they all stick around. We get rid of, you know, this season it's been, you know, two a week, but some seasons it's one a week. And next thing you know, we're at the end and it's like, okay, how are we getting rid of these people? And that'll be in, you know, November, which is still so far away. But this show is great. I love it. I'm so happy we're talking.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I know. it's It's been a little bit of a crawl so far. But I mean, I'm pretty invested in a few people on the season. So I like, here's the thing. I really like MTV produced shows. And so even if I'm like not super invested in the challenge as a franchise as much as I am maybe in like Big Brother or Survivor, just because I've like, you know, gone through the whole history of it, mm-hmm. I enjoy watching the challenge, like, which is bizarre because the very title of the show is what I often hate the most about these shows.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was just saying this on the last Big Brother recap that I was on, is that I usually black out during challenges on these shows. But I don't know. The challenge is just like a fun format. I love that they have like a party portion. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like, it's more serious, but not serious at the same time. It's like the perfect mix of, like social strategy and physical. It's an enjoyable show for me, but I'm a little frustrated this season so far because one, there are so many new people, which is great, but I also feel like because there are so many new people, it's just further perpetuated the reason to have this this veteran alliance, mm-hmm. and to continue to keep gaming it week after week to make sure that it's only rookies going home so that they can like scale down those numbers.
Right. And so you being somebody that I don't, you know, regularly talk challenge with, and I don't see you tweeting about the challenge a whole lot, which I think I had to ask you.
Because I don't watch it live.
Right.
Yeah, I don't get MTV, so I usually watch it the next day. Right. And by then, I'm not gonna live tweet a show 24 hours later.
Right. So I was like, you are watching, right? But like, who are your favorites of the vets, if you have any? I mean, I'm assuming you have to have at least like one or two people that you like from the veteran side. Even though like Scally and I have talked about this, you know, there's so the fact that the cast from last season is essentially just a repeat here, and that may not like, be
missing
the
a
most
couple
fun.
Good ones, in my opinion. But yes.
But who are your favorites?
I love Devin. He's like my kind of toxic man, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
So I loved him from Are You the One? So I think that when he started on the challenge, that was one of the big draws for me to start paying attention. And I love him every season he's on. He's such a dick, but he's incredible. I also kind of like, man, CT looks good this season.
I literally texted that to somebody. I don't know. I'm having a brain fart as to who I was talking to, but I said that and I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but CT.
Like, I enjoy CT. Like, I don't know. He's just like, I just like that he's old and like kind of cranky. But also he's like, he looks so good. Every episode this season, Phil goes like, damn, CT's a real hunk right now, right? I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't know when he, like, worked out and got into the body that he's currently in from last, because he didn't look like that last season, right? Like,
no, he was, like, he was getting there. Season. There was definitely an aspect to him last season where it was like he's starting to work on moving past the dad bod era.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean, he won last season, so you know he was already exactly. starting to show some changes. And then this season, it's like even further. And when you see him like working out with Huey in the room over, you know, and he's like getting on the exercise ball, it's like, no, he's like seriously like going all in on this, and he looks 10 years younger.
Is his hair different too? Like, I don't know. I just like, I had to do a double take at the beginning of the season where I was like, okay, that last season wasn't even that long ago. And I just felt like he looked so different. But yeah, no, I'm a fan of CT. Honestly, like I'm just naming like toxic men at this point. In like the, like not on this season, but like I have been known to sometimes be a Bananas fan, which I know I'm okay. Very, very sorry. But I love Big T. I'm, you know, feeling a little worried about Big T on this season just because, I don't know where she's not in a great place. She's in this weird, like, you know, like Venn diagram of like rookies and veterans, but mm-hmm. like not in a way that it actually helps her. It's quite the opposite. And then aside from that, I actually like don't mind Tori. I think that she is sometimes bad at the game, but I like her.
You don't say. that's I mean, that's where I've been at with Tori for a while now, especially with so many people that like have like been on a couple seasons of not liking her. This season is definitely the first time where I'm starting to get on board to that side of things. I'm not like fully there, but no, she's definitely making it hard to continue, you know, being a fan. Also, Tiffany just won HOH, so distracting. Oh! But go off, queen.
That's exciting. Oh, and I will say, I'm actually like very interested in both Ashley and Amanda being back, just because I kind of go back and forth on them, but like because they sometimes. And this is most people on the challenge, to be quite honest, where I'm just like, oh, you make it so hard to like you sometimes, but also like you say some of the most amazing things and I like love you as a TV character. Mm-hmm. So like the Kyle and Amanda pairing is just so iconic. Like I love that they are a team on the season. It's really, really fun. So
Amanda during the challenge being like, I'm not using this walkie talkie. I am loud enough, when they were like very far from each other being like, it's dot, dot, dash. I was like, Amanda, I'm obsessed with her.
But the self-awareness, she said her loud, obnoxious voice, like she basically called it. And I mean, it worked. Yeah. Like it was working. He 100%. Could hear her.
Like Amanda on Survivor in that challenge where you have to call out, you know, blah, blah, blah to your team to like make sure that they get the right pieces, like whatever that caller position usually is called.
My gosh.
That's Amanda. Yes.
Yeah, what so a dream.
Would love to live in that world. yes. So, yeah. And as far as you mentioned bananas, it made me think of something I was going to talk about this week. That just bananas apparently started like a new challenge podcast. I don't know if it's a challenge podcast. I think it's a challenge podcast. I think it's him recapping each episode, and I think it's on the Ringer Network. So you know, not surprised that like a big network is giving him this kind of platform because he's such a big name. I haven't listened to any of it yet. I don't probably plan to, but he was on Challenge Mania this past week, so I heard that, and he was just talking about, you know, not having the door close to him being on All Stars, and you know, basically like his mind is still always in challenge mode, like thinking about the game and about the strategy, the fact that he's podcasting about the season. Like he may be on like a bit of a break right now, but he will be back. So for you, I mean, and any other closet banana fans out there, well, maybe you're not in the closet about it but you may get him back eventually.
I mean, I duck into the closet every once in a while where I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't really exclaim this.
Right.
I mean, this is his career, like, ultimately. Like this is, you know, this has been such a massive part of his life and is ultimately, like, the reason that has propelled him to have all of the opportunities that he's had outside of the challenge. So I think that as long as, like, I don't know, you can just tell he loves it. So it doesn't surprise me that he wants to be back.
Absolutely. So that's that. Hopefully, as I always try to make the effort, won't be talking much about him, about the other person that is a veteran that has not been on in a while. We try to keep those names, you know, to the sidelines. So we're taking a break. So we'll get back to them eventually. Not today.
I'm sure we will.
But let's talk about this episode, I guess. We should probably get into it eventually. We're on episode 4, I think, of the season. I'm already losing track. And big loss here.
Because that first episode was not really an episode, right?
Where they came
in the cars. Yeah, so I guess like if you're considering that episode 0.
Yeah.
Yes. Big loss this season. You know, having Michelle on the season was another big draw for me to like be paying attention. Cause sometimes I'll come into the season a little bit late. Like I'll miss like the first 2 weeks and then like binge a little bit. But I was like right out of the gates, like Michaela's on, Michelle's on, like, what, this is so, you know, Survivor, like American Survivor people on, like I couldn't believe that. Also Tommy, and so I was very invested. I love Michelle Fitzgerald, of course. And so while I'm glad I've been able to talk about an episode that she was on, I'm very sad that it was her boot episode. Like that was very heartbreaking. Yeah. It was a big loss. And I was really loving Corey as well. Like I thought that they were both giving a lot, and I I mean, I'm not going to shade some of the other rookies, but I just feel like they could have both given us a lot more than maybe some of the other rookies that have stuck around. So disappointing to lose these two on this episode, but it was a fun ride.
I really did think this was the best episode of the season so far, and that's not saying a lot because we are only 4/5 episodes in, but I enjoyed it on the first time, and then, you know, on the second watch, taking notes, I enjoyed it again. I was like, this has got a lot of good stuff in it. We've been building up to, are the vets going to turn on each other? There was some vets turning on each other, both in the challenge and then later on at the elimination with the Fessy and Josh of it all, we'll get to. The challenge itself was, as you know, boring as you can expect for most challenges. I always find most of them boring, but I don't know, just everything else was giving me more something else to feel than I've been feeling in the past couple of weeks. Obviously losing Michelle was devastating, but I, you know, it's hard to feel more confident about somebody that will be back than somebody like Michelle in this spot. The way that she got so much of a story for someone who goes out in episode 4, that she was the scrappy underdog. People called her, you know, a future champion, say, or whatever they said, like, she is one of the best here, the best rookies, a love story that, like, we barely saw Michelle and Emmanuel share a kiss. Maybe they shared like one or two, if that. But the fact that she got like the whole love story, she got like a whole, like, a whole lot of content for somebody who was going out in episode 4. So obviously the cast all seemed to like her. She was on the after show with Devin Simone this week and a couple others, and they talked about
how I did watch that.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
About how everybody, you know, seems to like her. It's just, I feel like it's just, I you know, I'll knock on wood, but I feel like it's a lock that we're going to see Michelle again, and that just makes me happy.
Yeah, and I think that this is maybe the first time this season that TJ says that we'll definitely see you back again. I don't recall him saying that for any of the others that have gone so far this season, but he definitely seemed, he called both Corey and Michelle beasts and said, you, like, you will be back, basically. So I hope that's true. And I believe that in that after show, when they did that like match game, that there was like one question where it was like, who's going to win challenge season 50? Mm-hmm. And Devin Simone said Michelle. So I love the universe where that's a thing.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that means she's got to come back again.
Yes, she definitely impressed this season. Just the way that she, you know, even said like in the nominations, like, you know, we understand the situation that we're in. We're going to handle it with grace, and we're going to go in. We're going to do what we got to do and hopefully come out. Obviously, they didn't. But just the fact that, like, she's not somebody who needs to be out here on Twitter starting drama with anybody. She's not doing any of that. She's not, you know, yelling at this person, that person, like, oh, you were being shady, this and that. Like, she's just being her nice, natural, likable self, who everybody seemed to like and all the fans like. Maybe I shouldn't say all, but like most of the fans like, and anybody who doesn't, you can turn this podcast off now. So
and
I'm excited.
She's a newbie that comes with like a built-in fan base already, so it's not like, you know, to have her, even though she went out in the fourth episode, it's not like, you know, a weird gamble to have her back again if she didn't make a deep run, because it's like there are people, like, she gave us stuff in the short time that she had on the show, and also if she gets put on again, people aren't going to be like, who? Like, she's already coming with that built-in fan base, even if people don't fully remember her four episodes on the challenge. So
yes.
I think it's kind of a no-brainer. We saw that she's like very scrappy with, like, I think it was last week's episode when she like got rocked in the face and was like bleeding. Like, I love that. Like, she was like, she really showed a lot more grit than I was even expecting. So I'm, you know, obviously sad to have her go out here, because I do think that she had it in her. I think almost even right after this week, that if they had just gotten through this elimination, they could have been in a really good spot, especially because they would have been choosing new partners after this. Like, I think that Corey, Elle, and Michelle, if they had survived this elimination, were in really good spots after this. But just some of these challenges, they just like, you just never know what's going to happen.
She's just so good at the confessionals. She always has been on Survivor, like both seasons. And now, you know, here on this, on the challenges as well. And we don't have to, you know, stay gushing over Michelle the entire podcast. I would like to, but we don't have to.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. But my last comment is just that, you know, they definitely, she's good in the confessionals. And I'm pretty sure that like she had a good amount of confessionals in these four episodes. So they noticed it as well. And, you know, I always think about like the people who were like carrying the story of the season. And that's usually the Anissas and the Tories and the Jemmys when Jemmy's on or, you know, they have specific people that are really good at just giving a confessional about anything. And Michelle's going to come for one of those spots. Like she is fully going to be, you know, hopefully next season she can go further and they can use her not just to talk about her own game and the, you know, the ups and the downs of that, but just telling us about what's going on in the season because she's going to shine in that spot. So I'm, again, very excited. And that's that. But
yeah.
So
big agree.
We'll get to more on Michelle when we get to the elimination, but let's kind of go in a little bit of chronological order through this episode before, you know, everybody gets back to the house. And before we get to the challenge, we have a couple of different storylines being set up. One that was like super quick that I just kind of want to get your quick thoughts on. It really didn't play into much else that's happening here, but maybe in future episodes, Big T and Logan.
I was so confused, but I was like, okay. Yeah. So they go and have this little like, I wouldn't call it a date, but it was just like one of those day beds down by the water or something like that. I will say I love the location this time. Like, I feel like I really like whatever it is that they're staying at. I don't know. Where are they? I always forget this.
My gut wants me to say Iceland, but that could have been last season or two seasons ago. Honestly, I really don't know.
I like when it's like a scenic place and that it like doesn't look like they're miserable there. Like what was the one season where they were like in a basement?
The bunker. Like that was, that was two seasons ago. That was
aesthetically it did not work for me.
No, like no sunlight. Every time they went outside, it was like pitch blackout.
Yeah.
It was
that made me sad. It was making me depressed. I'm very light sensitive. And apparently that translates through the television show.
And
I'm
that
watching.
Was like the beginning of the pandemic, I'm pretty sure. So we were like, we were like all like, we want to see outside. Yeah, exactly.
They go down and they have this little talk and Big T, they're just talking about how they like their plan for the game. And Big T's talking about how she changes her plan each time she plays. And Logan just says that his plan is to float, which I love when when someone owns floating. And then, yeah, she basically says that she has a little crush on him and that, she, you know, she's not a very subtle person, so it's pretty obvious that he knows that. I had never seen them interact before this episode, so
And obviously Big T's a little bit worried about her spot in the game, which she mentions like in the challenge after there was one point I think Josh was like the first one that was able to eliminate somebody. He took Big T and Jeremiah out, so she was like, I really am still worried. And like that's been like her story for the past couple weeks now, so it still seems like there could be some danger in her future, or you know, I don't want to go there, but it seems like that could be coming at some point. But for now, she's building some relationships and, you know, looking to build a real relationship maybe with Logan, so we'll see how that all takes us. But the bigger story that we were getting set up with before the challenge that's obviously going to kind of carry us through the entire episode here is the Big Brother Alliance. What is it? Who is it? Why is it? Where is it? How is it? So Josh and Fessy, these two, apparently the best friends. Fessy kept calling Josh his best friend at the very end of the episode when he was like, Josh is mad at me. He's like, my best friend's mad at me. I'm like, your best friend? Whew, okay. But yeah,
there's a lot of like guys calling each other best friend. And I'm like, you don't talk about each other in a way that I feel like you would talk about your best friend, but okay. Like it really does seem like best friends of convenience, like more than anything, but yeah. I guess that's what's happening here.
Yeah, so I mean the drama here is obviously, as we saw when Amber came into the game, that Fessy is worried about her given the fact that they did not end last season on good terms. Mm-hmm. So Josh is like, I really want to keep this Big Brother Alliance together. Fessy is really looking out for his own game. And then we also see Amber and Casey check in, where Casey doing her usual pretty, you know, above average social game on Amber. You know, just, you know, I want to make sure that we're comfortable with each other, that we're good, you know, forget about what happened last season. And, you know, they have a good conversation there. But obviously, this whole time in Fessy's head, he is making this plan of like, as soon as I get a chance, I'm taking a shot at Amber.
Well, and the other thing about this is, like, we get confessionals from both Casey and Amber after their conversation, where Amber, like, well, in the conversation, like, Casey kind of acknowledges, like, yeah, Fessy, you know, he's working on his communication, and I think he's getting better, and Amber's like, yeah, I see growth, this is the guy that I actually want to work with, and we get confessionals where Amber's like, I'm feeling so much better, like, I'm going to protect Fessy as much as I can, I'm going to protect Casey as much as I can, and of course, like, obviously, I'm going to protect Josh. And, like, yay, the Big Brother alliance is back on, and, like, Casey's like, yeah, Amber's still very much on the bottom of this alliance, like, I don't fully trust her 1,000% or whatever, and I'm like, oh, God, this is not a good omen for Amber, like, you know, even though they're having this conversation, and it seemed to go pretty well, Casey's still just like, yeah, you're still number four in this pecking order. And like Fessy acknowledges in the conversation with Josh that like Josh, you know, he's not an immediate danger. Josh is Amber's partner. So even if she were to win a daily, like, you know, he has influence on her decision. So it's not a huge deal. But like, as we will see, like, they can have this conversation. He can walk away being like, okay, yeah, I'll hold off a little bit. And like, that is clearly not going to stop him. Like, Fessy is going to Fessy.
It's just, this is like a prime example of why Fessy is not a good player at any of these games and why Casey is. I mean, just, it's like straight up, like, watch these two scenes of Josh and Fessy and then Casey and Amber, where like Fessy could very easily, like, Big Brother for all four of these people is home. It's where they started. It's where they come from. It's like they should have this natural bond that keeps them to each other. And like Amber, you know, has been saying for two seasons now, I feel like I'm on the bottom of it. I feel like I'm on the outside of it. And at least Casey is trying here to be like, no, I promise, like, we're going to do this season. You're with us. And Josh, of course, and Amber seem to be very close. So it seems like they squashed all that. But Fessy, instead of like taking this person who should be a natural ally, he's still just focusing on the past and saying, you know what, no, I'm not even going to try, you know, we have the rest of the vets that all, I'm working with all of them. And I guess at this point he's gotten to be cool with Nelson and Corey again for the time being, but you still don't know for 100% certain that they're going to have your back. You screwed them over last season, so why are you like, he's just putting up such a wall between him and Amber, saying like, this is not going to happen, it's not, I'm not even trying to. It just highlights everything about why, you know, he's so bad at this game. And you know, if he ever wins one of these challenges, it's going to be just because he, you know, daily wind all the way to the end, and then, you know, didn't fall apart in a final. But you know, it's not going to be because he was any kind of impressive with the strategy or the social. He's always going to be, I think, as bad as he is now. Sorry, I don't know if that's too harsh, but
I don't think it's too harsh. I think that it's a pretty succinct, you know, it's description Fessy of how he, you know, I mean, this is the man that like evicted his own alliance mate on Big Brother. Like, he continues doing this in all of these shows, being like, this is someone that I am working with, like, and is in my like larger alliance, and also the other people in my alliance like want to work with this person. Like, no, fuck this. And also, like, with Corey and Nelson, like, how is he that sure that he's like perfectly well integrated back into that relationship? Like, obviously the vets are going to start turning on each other at some point, and his biggest concern is Amber, like, this early. I just don't understand what he's thinking here. You know, like, when I saw that this episode was called Messy, I knew immediately, like, I'm like, oh my God, is he, because I knew that this is Fessy's MO, is that he, you know, he just takes a good situation and says, no, I'm going to mess this up and make this worse for myself. But I didn't think it was going to happen already on episode 4. But yeah.
And just to kind of cut ahead, like, when eventually we're going to see that him and Esther win the challenge, and when we go over to, you know, their night out, and Corey L comes up to have a conversation with Fessy, talking about, look, like, if you look out for us, like, I know I'm going to be going in, but if you look out for us, give us somebody good in elimination. And then that conversation seems to stick. Fessy thinks that, you know, maybe this could be a good plan. He talks to Esther saying, I think we should do this. We should try to make some kind of bond with them, because if they come back, they'll have our back and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, not that like any of that is like the worst idea ever if that were to work out. But all of that is operating on this idea that like we are going to throw Amber in and hope that she goes home and then build these new bonds. But it's like, again, I just don't understand why you're trusting this person, like him and him trying to get a little bit of trust in Corey. Yeah, sure, Corey has nobody else, but Amber is working with everybody you're working with. Just get over it, my guy. Whatever.
Yeah, it's boggling.
and it's not just like the okay, last thing on it for now. It's not just the fact that like it's Amber and like, you know, whatever his feelings are towards her. It's the fact that like Josh is like telling him over and over again, who is his number one in the game, like
his best
do
friend.
Not do this, and like going all the way ahead to the elimination where he's going to be like, stop right now, change your vote. Like, imagine like anybody listening right now, or you, Jenny, or me, like imagine like your number one, you go into a game with your number one, Josh is supposedly Fessy's number one, saying to you, do not do this. Don't even think about it. Not right now. It's too soon. I would be like, all right, I want to do this, but I can't sit here and be like, no, I'm going to go against my number one. It's crazy. It was a lot.
I mean, he's being told to not touch the hot stove, and it's making him want to touch the hot stove more.
And
which
he's
is
sticking
like,
his whole hand on it, pressing down hard and saying, why not?
Yeah. And like, I mean, I don't want to fault Josh at all here, because Josh is doing everything he can. And I mean, you know, he doesn't always communicate properly. But like it kind of seems to me that it just turned into, you know, even though Josh was like really trying to push him to not make this decision, that perhaps that was just making Fessy want to do it more. I don't know. But you would think, it logically, like you just laid out, that if your number one, your best friend in the game, is constantly telling you, this is not the time, this person is with us, don't worry, they're not going to go after you, this is not the time to do it, that you would maybe listen.
How do you think that Josh and Fessy are going to be able to move forward from this? Like, is there going to be anything that they can reconcile? Because Josh in confessional seemed pretty fired up.
And oh, yeah.
I don't know that there's a whole lot of love here going forward.
Yeah, and that's like, again, the juxtaposition of like confessionals throughout this episode, first with like the Casey and Amber, with like, you know, Amber feeling really good. And also that just makes Fessy look stupid after the fact too, where being like, she was going to work with you, like even like the stuff was under the like water under the bridge, like she was with you. But then at the end of the episode, again, we're probably jumping around, sorry,
that's
what happens when you have me on a podcast, is like Josh being like, he just turned an ally who would have had his back to his biggest enemy. He literally uses the word enemy, and then like Fessy's like, oh, I gotta see where I stand with my best friend. It's like, honey, I don't know if he's your best friend anymore. He just called you an enemy in his confessional. Like, what are you doing?
When you are fighting for the love back and the affection back of your best friend Josh Martinez, like, how far low can you sink on the reality TV like totem pole? Like, how much further down can he go?
I mean, Josh is in a good position. He's like, his stock is like a lot better than it has been in previous
absolutely
seasons,
and Fessy pushed himself far, far away into the middle of the ocean, so all right, well, more on that to come. We still have a little bit else here, because the other relationship that's going to fall apart in this episode is the one with Devin and Kyle. We'll get to the challenge in a second, but there's a little bit of setup here where I'm sure you noticed Devin and his Speedo talking to Kyle about the Vet Alliance, about how, you know, just a reminder here that these two are BFFs, they're each other's number ones, and, you know, a lot of talk about how eventually, you know, the Vets are going to come for each other, blah, blah, blah. Any thoughts on the mashup of the Devin and Kyle,
the,
you know,
dial,
the morph
of it all?
Yeah, the face morph that
face
combined
morph. Yeah, that was very uncomfortable, because I felt like it didn't do either of them justice. I was like, you know, you can't,
it wasn't
always
unattractive,
it wasn't unattractive, but it was just it was too good, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it looked like a person.
Like the face morphs on like Big Brother or something like that for like challenges, it's like very obvious, like these are like, it's a face morph like that. Like, I had to do a double take. They like the graphic designer that they have at MTV did a great job.
I mean,
but it was very creepy.
Yeah, I'll take this one 9 times out of 10 over like the Paulie and Cara one from a couple seasons ago,
yeah,
when they were like,
absolutely. I forgot about that until this very moment.
Yeah,
so thank you reminding me of that. That
and
is
I broke
that
my
was
own
what
rule
triggered.
by talking about them. So there's
Yeah,
that.
okay, that is it. We're done.
All right.
One mention. I did love though, like the Devin like kind of talking shit about Corey being like, oh, like every season is like, oh, I have a family.
I know.
And then they get like the record cut noise and Kyle's like, yeah, I have a kid on the way too. Like, yeah, exactly. This is why I'm like, this is the last season I'm going to trust you.
Corey's out here minding his own business, just sitting here listening to his partner laugh, you know, with that weird laugh. And he's out here getting called out by Devin being like, I'm sick of this storyline with the kid. Like, what are we doing here? It's enough's enough.
Yeah, no one cares about kids. And Kyle's like, so about that.
Yeah.
Some
have
news
for
one
you.
Of those coming.
Yeah. Let's talk about the challenge a little bit, if we have much to talk about it at all. It was called Undercover Comms. It was, you know, heights over water kind of thing with, you know, hanging and getting a code, sending the code back to your partner. You know, it was one of those, you know, challenges where you can sabotage the other teams. So pretty easy for these vets to form a plan where the rookies stood absolutely no chance, which is so fun in a season where we're trying to see if we can go back and forth at all, or if the vets are just going to keep dominating a challenge like this. The vets are fully going to keep dominating, and they did, but there was a lot of drama involved within. So I don't know, what were your thoughts watching this one? Did you like it? Or
I like ones where they have like communication. So mm-hmm. I didn't mind this challenge in terms of the fact that they had to like communicate this. But the fact that they can sabotage or like whatever they called it, detonate like other pairs. Mm-hmm. Again, like you were just alluding to, is very frustrating in the format of this show, especially how it's going, where, you know, you brought in all of these new people basically just to be like slaughtered, you know, for all of these vets because you've watched them go week after week. And now you've made it pretty easy to make sure that certain people don't win if there's a big alliance controlling things. And it's like, I don't mind that function existing in the game here and there, but I feel like there's so many things already that are kind of like that, especially with the format of who gets chosen to go into the lair, not even needing to be a team.
Right.
It can be like picking from two different teams. Like, they're already at such a disadvantage. Like, they're making it so easy for the vets to dominate, and I just don't think that like we needed a challenge like this where, you know, the vets can also just band together and take, you know, whoever they want out and make sure that they don't win.
Right.
To the point where the heat number, so like heat number one, I think the big storyline from that was just Huey being,
yes.
Huey.
love the running storyline of like Huey being terrified to do the challenges and Ashley being like, you're going to do them whether you like it or not. And Huey crying as he gets up there, and he does it eventually and doesn't seem to be enjoying it much. Ashley, I mean, I think at this point she's probably still just happy that they didn't get purged in the first challenge. So she's kind of on borrowed time in her own mind is kind of what
right.
I feel like. But I'm sure that like going forward into next week, she is going to be very happy to not have him as a partner anymore.
Well, she was literally like asking for him not to pick her.
Right.
But like, here's the thing, like Huey is a fun character, but oh my god, does he drive me insane. Like the screaming of like, I can't imagine being up on that like rig and like having him next to you being like, let me off, I quit. Like, I'm just like, oh my god, please stop. Like, the amount of like STFUs that have been uttered from this episode, I feel like is off the charts, and I'm pretty sure like 90% of them were at Huey.
And I don't generally like, it's entertaining to me, and we haven't seen this Huey like yelling kind of thing. Like, we haven't seen this person, I think, since Georgia a couple seasons ago when Georgia did this in a lot of different challenges.
Yeah.
In that elimination, notably, where she, you know, tried to out psych whoever was like tying her up under that chair, which is still such a weird elimination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did this in a lot of challenges of just like screaming things to like distract people and to be annoying. And like, Huey isn't doing that to like,
no,
I think, be strategic. He's just
That's
doing
his
that
personality.
Because exactly. But I do like this person in a challenge that is always screaming and yelling and causing a scene. I don't know. It's I don't know that I'm like all in on Huey specifically. I'm not really quite there yet. But again, I do like that aspect of what he brings to the challenges.
I like having a person like Huey there who is not like the, you know, obvious physical specimen that is like that brings something else to the table besides just being like physically good at stuff. Mm-hmm. So I like his existence for that reason, but there are times where he wears on me. I will be completely honest where I'm just like, oh my God, please stop.
Yeah.
But I loved his little interaction with CT at the beginning. Yeah. So he had so many character moments, which made me think like, okay,
is he going home?
I know that he was a big part of this episode, but like, how is he sticking around for a while?
Yeah.
But that was like that was really the only big storyline of the first heat. Besides, we kind of mentioned this earlier that Josh got the first like detonate thing and took out Jeremiah and Big T first. And when everyone was supposed to go after Corey and Michelle first, but like as Josh said, he's like, everyone else is going to go after them. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Which again, it's like, that's so annoying. It's like the whole, like everyone is going after these two. Like, so what is the point of doing all of this? And then the heat too, it's like, again, this is so like inconsequential that the main drama of Heat 2 is like the order in which people got taken out for what something was like. They already knew that the people that they didn't want to win hadn't won. So it was just like, I don't know. Like, right. It's an important storyline, I guess, the Kyle and Devin of it all to, like, set up for future weeks. And again, I think they have to, like, give us some sort of material for, like, you know, the eventual vets turning on each other, which is, like, a lot of it's basically, like, the editors just being like, don't worry, guys. Like, I know that, like, they're definitely targeting the rookies, but, like,
it will happen. When is it going to happen? It's going to happen sooner or later. Hey, don't look. Turn the channel. Don't watch Devin Big Brother. Watch our show.
Yeah, there's something happening here. And everyone's saying, oh, Kyle's such a snake. So it might not be this week, but just keep watching.
I promise.
And so I that was kind of the frustrating thing, is that like this challenge took so much of the episode for nothing, really. Because, I mean, I didn't believe that. And I don't think the thing between Devin and Kyle with Kyle, you know, not understanding the assignment and taking out Devin and Emmy when I guess the plan was if someone's doing the best, keep them in because we want this heat to win.
Yeah.
I fully believe that Kyle was just kind of like doing whatever and being like, Devin's not gonna be mad if I take him out. I'm trying to win.
Yeah. He was talking about like, I don't know, you know, I don't really remember what the agreement was. I just kind of went and did it. And I was like, I don't know if I believe you, but what's the big deal either way?
Yeah. It just seemed like, I don't think it was fully manufactured drama, but I do feel like it was very exaggerated to give some sort of storyline for people to be like, hey, well, you know, once we get down to like vets going after vets, like we're looking at Kyle. And also just to give like the rookies something to say, like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe the crack between the vets is like starting sooner than we thought. But right. It was just frustrating that like the whole second heat was like there was no real drama besides that. And it was ultimately just about like who was going to win to carry out the exact same mission.
Yeah.
That's kind of frustrating because it's like you want to see different, like your interest in certain people getting power here when all of them are going to be safe anyway. Like if they're all going to be putting in the same people, it's just like, how am I supposed to care about this? Like there's nothing, you know, so it's like, I just felt like it could have been yada yada. And it's just like, I didn't love that they were given the power to eliminate people because Michelle and Coriel have like held their own in a lot of these challenges. Weren't they like second place?
Yeah.
Like,
they
last week.
I mean, they've definitely, they were, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but Michelle's definitely been crushing it. I mean, she put up a huge effort in the one last week and then, I don't remember if there was one that she also did well in earlier than that, but yeah, definitely has been, you know, showing up in these challenges. And if it wasn't a challenge like this, if it was just a regular old, you know, go out there and do your task and get timed or whatever it was, then maybe we're not in the situation where she ended up going home this week. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's to say? But we did get, besides the Devin and Kyle of it all here, we got no Emmy confessionals in this episode, not a single confessional, but we did get a great moment where she gets dropped by Kyle, and once she gets out of the water, she's looking around screaming, "Who the fuck dropped me? Kyle, you snake!" And oh my god, I just...
She is a lot.
She is so much, and it's I'm still loving every second of it, so...
I also... I think she had one other moment where it was just down to Kyle and Amanda and Fester, as I call them, Fessy and Esther.
Yes.
And Emmy goes, "Esther, beat this dickhead ass." And then I think it was Devin who said, "Well, no, we don't root for them.
Yeah, no, we still don't want them. Yeah."
So funny.
Which is funny.
So like, yeah, we got Devin. You know, more of the Emmy is. You know, a big ball of energy and very emotional. Like, I feel like she kind of, you know, works herself up a lot.
Yeah. And let me just say, I understand as far as the Devin and Kyle thing goes here. Obviously, we're not done talking about it. There's still going to be the half of the rest of the episode is going to be about, you know, how pissed off he is. I get his frustration, Devin's frustration, because like this was such a simple mission to, you know, like we have a very easy plan. This challenge is designed for us to win with a plan like this. And like, I don't know, it was like, imagine like you're playing Among Us and like you have, you know, an agreement before you start the game for whatever stupid reason, like we are only going to target three people in this game, none of the rest of us kill each other, and then, you know, somebody gets imposter and kills you, somebody that you told not to kill you just kills you for no reason. It's like, we literally just said we weren't going to do this. What is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? It's like, this isn't a big deal because like, oh, I lost the challenge. It's like, what did you not understand? Like, we just talked about this. Like, what possibly went wrong in your head that you decided that we... And Kyle's like, yeah, you know, like the heat of the moment took over. I saw that you were winning, so I wanted to stop you from winning. I don't know. Whatever was going through Kyle's head, he pissed Devin off. Devin was fuming. His blood is boiling, and he's putting on a whole thing, you know, at the end of the challenge, which Kyle was like, you know, especially saying in confessional, he's like, this is really stupid of him because we're giving everybody a fight right now. And the rookies are, you know, as he said, getting a boop on. Which, yeah, and Michelle even had a confessional there. She's like, this is a great opportunity. There's fighting between them. We should capitalize on this. But obviously, we know that it wasn't actually going to go anywhere. Yeah, not fun for these two.
No, and Kyle is a very self-interested person. Like, I think that he's just kind of like, you know, he sees an opportunity and he wants to go for it. And like, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And it wasn't even about like, you know, he would screw Devin over in a situation. And this is like a lot of what we get from Devin being like, okay, well, what happens like the next time? And there's a heat of the moment sort of thing. Like, you know, what are you going to do in another situation? But like, ultimately, like they knew that this didn't matter. They knew that as long as one of them won from this heat, like it was all good. So it was just Kyle being selfish. But again, like they don't, as far as I understand, like they don't get anything special besides the power to be the ones to decide who goes in against the house vote. Like, why does he care so much? You know what I mean?
It's just
like, you're not getting extra money or anything like that. Like, if you are all working towards the same goal and probably are going to make a pretty similar decision no matter what, I just didn't understand why, like, they needed to be fighting over it. It's just like, okay, we're all on the same team here. Like, we don't need to, like, you know, fight over who gets to, like, you know, say the decision when we're all really a part of it. But
close your eyes for a second and just imagine, instead of Devin and Kyle, this is Josh and Fessy. Like, I'm starting to really fuse Devin and Josh as characters in my mind. I feel like this easily could have been a Josh blow up.
Well, they literally have a conversation like in this episode where, you know, they are good and they're both in a really great position. And their best bet to possibly win this game is to keep each other around and end up at the final with each other and not against people like CT who are going to like crush them. So, you know, the arc of Josh and Devin is very, very interesting, and they have a lot more in common than, you know, we might have thought before.
Right. Like, it's literally team layup, these two. It's just like the fact that they, like you said, they had that conversation talking about like, we are doing this for a very good reason. Like, we want to run a final against each other. We don't want to run against all these other people. Like, we need each other in this game, which is like fully true, fully valid. Like, work together, bring your allies in, and make this one big alliance for the two of you. And that's exactly what they're doing. So it's not like I need to tell them how to strategize their games. Like, they've been planning this. They went on vacation together. They have had this, you know, in the works for a while before the season started, and we're seeing them execute it pretty well. But it's just very funny how, again, I really am seeing a lot of similarities the more they spend time together. And maybe it's always been this way, that they're always this, they're both the same kind of character. But it's funny now that they're working together and they're getting highlighted together. They were getting in fights last season, and now this season they're like, oh no, let's just let's just stick by each other's side. So, you know, that's that.
It's really funny, like, to think of a world where like Josh is like one of like the most strategic, like well-positioned people in the house, but when you have his, like, you know, number one as Fessy, who continues to make the decisions that Fessy makes, it's pretty easy for you to be elevated to the position of like the strategist of the pair. So
so yeah. I don't know where to go from here, but I guess we probably should mention that Fessy and Esther, yes, did win the challenge there. So
Fester.
Shout out Fester, who had a faster time than Josh and Amber from Heat 1. So yeah, Fessy and Esther with the win there. We also got a little bit from Esther. I enjoyed, during that heat, kind of narrating about, like, you know, because, I mean, we still don't know these rookies the most.
That well, yeah.
So, you know, getting a little bit of extra, like, she was like, oh, well, people don't know this about me, but I am very smart. Like, I was the valedictorian back in school. And just, you know, explaining why she was like doing so well in this challenge, and, you know, this is their second win. So shout out to me, by the way, for again picking Esther with my last pick in our big draft, making sure to not let Scally eat up all the Fessy daily challenge win points. So love that for me.
That worked out well for you. I like Esther. And I believe that in the after, what is it called? The aftermath. Fessy actually said that, like, a lot of that win was thanks to Esther, because she was killing it on her end. So I don't want people to think that just, you know, pairing up with Fessy is like a layup and it's just because of Fessy, because, you know, apparently it was really Esther's work that kind of carried them on this challenge. So shout out to Esther.
To cut ahead, what did you make of Jeremiah and Amber?
So I knew this was coming because I think I saw it like on one of the previews. Maybe it was like the preview from the end of last week's episode. Mm-hmm. I don't hate it. I tend to block out what happened on Love Island after it finishes, but I remember liking Jeremiah on Love Island. I'm brooding for them. I don't know. I don't feel super strongly. Like, I don't stan either of them individually like incredibly hard, but I think they're both non-offensive people that I like. So I'm happy for them to, you know, possibly be feeling each other, not physically, and you know what I mean.
What? What?
You know what I mean. But, you know, like, this isn't the worst move for Jeremiah either. Is like, hey, you know, what helps you maybe integrate yourself into a better spot with the vets is cozy up with one of them. So I like this for Jeremiah as well. But also, I don't think that that's necessarily what it's about. They're both very attractive people. So, like,
and nobody stand too hard here for these two, because I'm pretty sure that Amber is dating a new guy right now, if I'm reading her Instagram pictures correctly.
Oh.
So well, Jeremiah who at this point, but I'm glad they had fun.
The other thing we see also a bit more of the Michelle and Emmanuel connection at the party, them kind of like kissing and stuff. And I believe, well, obviously Michelle leaves, so they didn't get to see this relationship out very far. But I believe I read an interview that I guess he is dating somebody else now, and she was kind of taken aback by it when she saw it. So
yeah, there's I don't know, maybe we shouldn't go too deep into that, because I don't know if that's gonna come up like later in the season. But I saw that as well, and as I just my number one priority is always, I hope Michelle is happy and okay. So as if Emmanuel has moved on to someone else,
drinking wine in Spain, so I think she's doing fine.
Yeah,
she's thriving.
As long as she's happy, he can do whatever he wants to do.
I did stand the two of them, because honestly, I really like Emmanuel.
I know. Me too.
Physically, I like him, and also he's fun in confessionals. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
he's got a great energy.
Yeah, like he's got really like fun, infectious kind of energy, and like. His confessionals, he does like a lot of the like not type like comedy where he's just like, oh, CT, don't go after my woman, like I'm gonna come after you, and then he's like, just kidding, don't come after me, like and then like later's like joking about like, oh, if Michelle goes home, I'm gonna have to find another girl, and he's like, ah, I'm just joking,
not going home.
Yeah, it's like, he's got like that kind of corny humor, but it works for him.
And he had one later on as well in the elimination. He was like, come on, Corey, you're not doing anything well, like you have to go harder and save my girl, I want her to come back.
So, yeah, I really like him. So so I hope that we continue to get to see a storyline from him after, because most of it up until this point has just been about his connection with Michelle, because Michelle is a main character. So
and speaking of my draft, I picked Casey and Emmanuel. I, you know, feel like this is still a potentially strong team. Nobody's been taken from this team. So I still have my eye on these two as far as, you know, success in the game goes. And you
I
know,
think
there
it's
was,
a strong team.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk, I think, last week or the week before about how Emmanuel's one of the strongest guys in the house. So, like, that seems like people are aware of that. So I don't know, just still feeling good about that for those two. Before we get to the nominations themselves, just quickly to wrap up the Kyle and Devin of it all, we did get the apology. Everything was accepted. It's like, obviously, these two are not going to be going after each other. It was a stupid kind of thing on Kyle's end. Devin held on to it for as long as he wanted to. He got it out of his system, and now we can move on. So yeah, yay, woohoo.
Yeah, we got a record amount of times the phrase heat of the moment has been uttered on one of these challenge episodes, because that is really all that Kyle said. That his only defense here was, it was a dumb heat of the moment. Dumb heat of the moment. It was heat of the moment. In the heat of the moment, he made a mistake. He's sorry. So, I mean, no one really thought that this was going to be anything, but we certainly did see everyone jump on the opportunity to kind of like shit on Kyle. Like, there was like a scene with Nelson really saying like, Kyle's a snake, and you know, we're not going to let him get to the point where he can like turn on us or whatever. But, you know, I don't know if that's set up for, you know, when the vets truly start actually going after each other. But
yeah, they're definitely dropping little hints all around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that all plays out, but we get to the nominations. Obviously the focus here is on Michelle and Corey L, who are, I always forget that there's another Corey. This is associated to Corey Wharton. But like, just because Corey L's name is spelled with the E. So I'm like, who's the other C-O-R-E? Who's the other Corey? It's Corey. Okay. Sorry. That stupid note aside.
Original Corey.
But Michelle and Corey are like the main focus of this, because they've apparently known since they were put up together as a pair that, you know, the target has been on them. And they're just kind of making their case here, saying Michelle's like, I want somebody to go in that hasn't earned their stripes yet. Which Priscilla's like, you're talking about me? Like, no, I don't know about that. So obviously she wanted either Priscilla or Bettina. I think specifically they were looking for Bettina to go in, who's a lot smaller than Michelle.
I think Corey mentioned Bettina when he had his chat with Fessy. So.
But the bigger issue here, or story here, is Corey, who is going to be pretty firmly trying to put the target onto Huey. And that's going to be, it's crazy how, like, you know, the episode's an hour and a half long. We got to like the 50 minute mark, and now we are first opening up a huge storyline that's taking us through the rest of this episode, the Corey versus Huey, that now we're like over an hour into the, or maybe almost an hour into this podcast, and now first talking about the Corey and Huey of it all, which again, it took us through this entire rest of the episode. Corey wanted to go against Huey, and Huey was taken so aback by this, he realized what was going on during the nominations, being like, is he really like calling me out and making me look like an idiot? Like, we're supposed to be the two gays looking after each other, like kind of having each other's backs, and now he wants to either go in against me or just make me look like an idiot, so I hear that the target's on me. Like, what is this all about? And it was like, it was sad to see that the way that this all played out, not only like when we get to the elimination and these two are going to just be, you know, at each other's throats as they are, you know, competing against each other in the elimination, but when it gets to the end and they're screaming at each other, it's like it at a certain point turned from relatively entertaining to, oh, this is kind of weird, hard to watch. And then especially at the end when they were like, it started to
both very emotional,
very emotional. Corey put his hands on Huey, and then, you know, we get the tears in the confessional, being, you know, with the whole like, I really shouldn't have underestimated him, I shouldn't have put us in this position, like the world does this to us, why am I doing this to us as well? And he felt like such an idiot. He, you know, didn't really had so much regret towards this whole situation, which it does seem like he carries to this day. He was on the podcast with Tori and Anissa talking about like, I really, you know, like Huey and I aren't going to be best friends, but I really do hope that he accepts my apology and we can have some kind of friendship going forward, because I really, you know, should not have done all that.
Here's the thing is, like, I feel it, and I totally agree it went to like a really bad place, and I think, you know, in a lot of scenarios, like, I think that both Corey and Huey would decide, like, would agree, like, you know, like, we need to work together, like, we're the two like gay men in the house, like, we got to have each other's back sort of thing. But like, on also, I do sort of feel, even though Corey did acknowledge to Fessy that he felt like, you know, try and throw me a bone and throw someone like Huey in that I think that I might be able to beat, he's got to go against someone, and he knows Fessy's not going to necessarily throw in a vet. And at the like deliberation or whatever, Corey did say something like, you know, they didn't really name any names, and insinuated that like it should be like a rookie that hasn't like earned their stripes yet, or has like not, you know, has had an easy ride because of their partner so far. And I can't remember who it was, but someone was like, oh, like, does anyone want to respond to that? But like, he technically could have been referring to like Gabo or like Emmanuel. Like, there are like a couple other like rookies that like haven't gone in, but like Huey chose to so for whatever reason, Huey, like, you know, understood that Corey's probably talking about him, and right, that was maybe, you know, if he's talking about like someone weaker, then like he was probably talking about him. But Huey doesn't really do a great job here, where he's just like, oh, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen, like, I can't make you like make a decision. And it's like, well, no, you kind of can. Like, that's the point of this whole situation, is like, you're supposed to be able to like try and talk to people and like talk them out of making a certain decision. And he kind of just says like, you know, this is where we see like Huey's emotional side, where I think that he really just isn't ready to like, you know, lie to people or go against people, because he reveals during this as well that like, in the previous week, he threw his vote on him and Ashley because he didn't want to vote for Jeremiah and
Tasha.
And Tasha. So like, he's really just not showing a lot of like, you know, I don't know, will to fight for himself, right, here, or to like hurt anyone's feelings. And I think that that's really what started this issue between him and Corey, where like Corey's like, hey man, like, I just got to do what's best for my game here. Like, I'm already being put in. And I think that Huey is the kind of person that was like, I would never do that to you, but like, once you do that to me, then like, it's on.
Which just set off like the whole train here for Huey. Is he like, you know, then, like you said, he mentioned that to Ashley, and Ashley was like, what? And then when, after the nominations are over, he goes to find Ashley to like apologize, and he's like hysterically crying, being like, I'm so sorry that I did that, like, I trust you, I'm so sorry. Like, Nani literally got up and like walked out of the room.
She's like, I don't
want to pay for this. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I don't know. Ashley, you'll be fine. the fact that like the format of this season allows for Huey to be able to go in without Ashley being tied to him, like she, I'm sure, is, you know, doing just fine regardless of a burn vote. She's like, yeah, I've been burned in the past. It's like, Ashley, it's okay, we'll be fine for the time being here. So yeah, but just overall with the rest of this elimination, I did you know, as who's surprised, loved the energy Michelle came at this with, like when they were, you know, going back and forth with Huey a little bit, or just whoever else in the room being like Michelle was like, we have had a bumpy road to get here, and the rest of you guys have had a pretty smooth sailing ride, especially you, Huey. Don't even try to look at us and make it seem like you've had, because this is now, you know, whatever this elimination cycle is, I don't know, 3 days, a week, whatever it is, since they were put together, like the target, it seems, has been more on them than it was on like Sarah Beth this week. Like, it's just, you know, everybody knew there was no chance anybody else was going home.
They were the only R&R, as Devin called them. They were the only rookie team left, so it was like a no-brainer. It's like, oh, how do we, you know, get someone in without potentially risking a vet? Like, you know, give us our best chances of keeping all of the vets here. Like, why not do that? So I don't know, like, I Ashley is not in a bad situation here. Like, it's, they were such a terrible pair.
But also one of the best pairs.
That's why it was so good.
Yeah.
Like, Ashley has like zero patience, and like Huey is kind of like a child in like how he like, you know, cries a lot, and he's like afraid of everything, and he's like very emotional and stomps his feet a lot and gets like kind of like impatient and stuff. And like Ashley is also impatient, but like for a different reason. So, yeah, that was a funny situation there, but
But we're gonna bounce back to the elimination. Sorry, were you gonna say something else?
Oh yeah. No, I can't remember now.
Okay. when we go into the elimination, like, we're going to spend the rest of the episode bouncing back and forth between the drama, between, like, it's just, all the women this episode were, for the most part, like, sitting back watching these guys all be idiots. Like, yeah, they were chilling. Because we go from, you know, with Kyle and Devin, we have Fessy and Josh, who we're about to get to again, Corey and Huey. It's just, like, so much mess on the guy's side of things. But when we get to the elimination, we had a bit of a scene before there where it was becoming pretty clear that Fessy wanted to say Amber, but Josh was like insisting that he shouldn't do it. So that's just, you know, whatever. That's what's on Fessy's mind. And when we get to the elimination, you know, we end up seeing Huey is going to go in, and then it's like, all right, who's going in on the women's side of things? And Josh starts to throw this whole thing we kind of talked about earlier. And Fessy's yelling back at him, you can't save everybody. Like, you, what are you trying to do here? And Josh is yelling back at him, like, this doesn't make any sense, you idiot. Like, make it make any kind of sense to me. And I mean, obviously the highlight of this is TJ pulling out his phone in the middle
so
of this. I'm like,
funny.
Holy shit. Like, it's like the sight gag was just so worth it. And the fact that TJ carries his phone in his pocket for eliminations, like, is so, like, it took me out of the challenge world for a second, but I didn't mind. Like, on all these reality shows, there's no cell phones, but TJ's just pulled out his iPhone, sitting here, probably like checking Instagram while these guys are yelling. It was so great.
The visual comedy was so good. Like, I watched it the first time and did my notes, and then I watched it a second time with Phil. And like, he was kind of multitasking while we were watching it. And like, I was like, he was listening, and I was like, you're going to miss this. And he's like, what? And I was like, this is a really funny scene and you're missing it. And then he's like, I'm listening. And I was like, no, you have to watch. He looked right when TJ pulls out his phone and looks at it. I was like, this is so incredible.
Yeah.
TJ is a star. And then also TJ, you know, again, incredible at this moment where like it really starts escalating between Josh and Fessy, and like, you know, Josh is doing what Josh does and is like losing his mind, you know, running at Fessy. People are having to hold him back. I'm pretty sure there was like a couple of production members there,
right?
And
why are we making security get involved? Like, they're masked up. They're trying not to get close to people. We're still worried about COVID here. You're making them jump in to break up Josh, who's like not even like getting that close to Fessy. He's just getting loud and animated like he always does. I mean, if Josh was going to throw a swing, like, good, let him go. Whatever.
I don't love that, though, because like, you know, I think it was like Ashley that was standing in between them that kept on trying to like kind of block Josh, and like, you kind of see like Josh get into this mode where he's just like he's just going at it, and he's like kind of pushing away anyone who's trying to like intervene. And I don't love that, because like then you're potentially accidentally hurting somebody that is just like trying to stop you from yourself. Mm-hmm. But we see production getting involved here, but then TJ is just like,
shut
it's mostly
up.
Just talking. He says, please stop talking. Hey, shut up.
He literally had to scream at them to stop talking.
He's like, I've run out of, like, tweets to look at on my phone, and we need to get this going.
Yeah, like, I refreshed Instagram. Nothing has changed. Twitter, nope, we're at the top of the page. I need you guys to shut up now so we can get through this, so I can get back to my trailer, and we can move forward. Somebody's got to go home. I mean, look, I also would love to have delayed the elimination of Michelle as long mm-hmm. as possible, but we had to do this, get to this elimination eventually. So, it is what it is. Amber's going to go down. Obviously, she doesn't take it very well either, as you can imagine. Why would she? So, you know, when she realizes what's happening and, you know, she's not able to, if Josh isn't able to do anything to change his best friend's mind, Amber's not going to be able to do anything. So she starts, you know, calling Fessy out to everybody, saying, look, he's still messy Fessy. He's still a huge snake. Like, this is you see this, right? Like, because Fessy is taking the first shot at the vets. Granted, it still sounds weird to call a vet somebody who is on their second season, but she is a challenge champion.
Right.
Gotta go with it. And the Vet Alliance, there was a shot taken from one vet to another. And like Amber's trying to point out, like, you guys see this, right? Like, this is it. It's happening right now and whatever. So she goes down into the elimination fired up, and we see Huey's fired up as well because of the whole Michelle and Corey thing. So it just kind of felt like there was never going to be a shot for Michelle and Corey here because of the energy the other two had going into this one.
Yeah, because like, you know, like we were saying earlier, Michelle and Corey have known that they were going to need to do this for however many days now, from the moment that they got paired together. So there's something about like in, again, the heat of the moment when your adrenaline is high because you are, you know, you're angry or you're frustrated or you, you know, emotions are running high. In a lot of cases, it can fuel someone to just get into that zone that they need to get into, you know, make it happen. So, but I will say that, like, I think there's a universe where this is a different challenge, and I don't necessarily think that Amber and Huey win just because they were the most fired up, because we've seen that, you know, again, Michelle and Corey literally won an elimination together already, and they both were holding their own throughout the challenges in the four, you know, episodes that they were on. I just think that this particular challenge is one of those things where it just, like, you never know who's really going to be good at it mm-hmm. because it's coordination. It's honestly, like, a little bit of luck, like things getting stuck. It was raining. Like, you never know, like, you know, keys can get dropped. It's not one of those things where it's like, this person is a physical specimen, and like, they're definitely going to win this challenge over the other person. So I felt like this was like really equal ground. And Michelle and Corey definitely could have had a chance at a different challenge. But again, that's just how it works sometimes. Mm-hmm. So,
you need eliminations like this to kind of even the playing field sometimes. Like, you can't just have them all be like super physical, mental. Like, it has to be some of these chance ones.
Every week.
As much as they would like that.
Yeah, I appreciate when there are these kinds of challenges, because, like, you know, when there's like a puzzle element or problem solving, like, I like when it draws on different skill sets, because otherwise, like, I would be not that interested in this show, because it would just be like a sport.
Right.
And which I love sports, but it's like, that's not what this is supposed to be. So I do like when there are like kind of equalizer type challenges like this. But Huey was actually like really like killing it. Like, he was like really moving them through and almost kind of like dragging Amber along through some of that. Would you call it a maze? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
a maze. I mean,
yeah, a track.
Yeah, sure. It was like a playground set just with the pole attached to it. So, I mean, obviously we saw that Michelle and Corey got stuck at one point, and Michelle was like screaming out for help, essentially like production asking, like, can someone like pause this and look at it? Because like they were so stuck, and Huey was like, nope, that happened to us too, but we got to keep moving. We kept moving. Sorry. You guys are stuck. Sucks for you. We're going to win. So shut up. Nanny nanny poo poo. We're winning. Ha ha ha.
Which you definitely want to hear when you're getting frustrated in the
Right. And then
competition.
the cursing was going back and forth, screaming at each other. And it was, and I mean, the funniest part of the whole thing was like when, like Huey would not stop talking. And Amber said to him, literally, "We are winning, Huey. Like, we are in the lead. So
Shut
shut up." And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry,
up. We
Amber."
are winning this.
And he just kept going. And literally, like, it's like disciplining a child at a certain point. But yeah, so Huey and Amber do get the win here. Amber Borzotra now a challenge champion and 3-0 in challenge eliminations. So
Wow.
credit to her for that one. And yeah, I
If
mean
you
at the end
told
of this.
me, if we were, you told me like a couple years ago that like first of all she would even be on this show and like this would be like the situation at hand right now, like I wouldn't believe you. Like what a world we're living in.
Also,
I
wouldn't
love
believe you,
it
but I am happy to be
though.
here.
Yeah, it's
I
great.
think
It's
it's I
fine.
think it's great, and it's so much better than the alternative where she would have made it onto Big Brother and been on that cast where we don't need to talk about that season of
And
the
it's so much
show.
better than having Lauren
Right. So hands down on that one.
on this season.
Yeah. But yeah, so after the challenge is over, the elimination's over, you know, we have a result, but we still have drama here when Corey and Huey end up pushing each other and Corey's yelling at him, "It's not my fault. People like me more than you." And then Corey does his little dance and everybody's laughing and everyone has no idea what's going on. TJ was not happy, yelling at
No.
both of the guys, Huey for being a sore winner and Corey for putting his hands on someone. But he was like, "It's all right. We still cool. Yeah, I think he'll come back. No problem. Just everybody relax. Everybody go home. Let me go check my phone again, and we'll all have a great night. Michelle, think you're awesome." We get Emmanuel who came down to give her a big hug and a kiss, and even dropped the L word on the way out. But you know, so let me put those two guys aside for a second, and one more time give Michelle Fitzgerald her moment where she, you know, had that confessional, being like, "It's just so nice that somebody else cares that I just lost $1 million." And I saw a couple people tweeting being like, "Michelle, you already won $1 million. Like, let's
But
appreciate that we have that."
we do care that you lost the opportunity at another million
Yes, I
dollars.
mean, I want Michelle to win every $1 million that is presented in front of her,
Yeah.
but it's okay. We at least have that first one that we're going off of. We have the runner up or whatever third place money from Survivor Season 40, and then there's obviously some money coming in from this season, whatever the paycheck is going to be. And then when she wins the challenge Season 50, as per Devin Simone's
Exactly.
prediction, then the money's just going to keep running. The Michelle Fitzgerald empire is
It's
still fully
growing.
on the track. So yeah, we are living the best life here. Corey not living his best life, as he again was very upset in this confessional. So a pretty sad exit for him. We already talked about Michelle's coming back, but what do you think about Corey's chances to come back?
I actually think that they're decent. I don't know. I just felt like, you know, obviously we got a lot of material from Michelle in her four episodes, but I felt like we got a lot from Corey too. And I think that like I honestly do think that they recognize that he plays an important role. Like he talked about it in his confessionals, like, you know, like being like a black gay male, that like it's important for me to like represent and like be, you know, on a show like this where, you know, traditionally you might not associate me with like this kind of like physical type of thing and like, you know, how that sort of representation matters. And I thought that he was like a really fun character. Like I had no idea who he was before this season. I still don't know what 12 Dates of Christmas is. I've been calling him Christmas Corey. But I actually came out of it like, you know, it got a little messy at the end, but I think that he showed you know, regret and compassion. And I thought that there was a lot to him that I would be happy to see him again. And I really do think that he was in a position where if they, like I said earlier, if they had won this elimination, I think that Michelle and Corey could be, you know, two rookies that kind of make a run at this game and are here for the long haul once vets really start going at each other. So I would be happy to see Corey back again because I do feel like we got a lot of character moments from him for someone that was only on a couple of episodes.
I would also not mind slash would potentially be happy to have him back, but I kind of am leaning towards, like, my gut reaction says that we don't see him back. I don't know if that's a hot take, but I just feel like A, the challenge and casting gay men is already like barely happening. There's two here. So, you
Right,
know,
but
this
it's
has been
like, why
a
would you not bring back someone that was good.
And I mean, not to give like credit to this person, but like Jose, who was like nothing but drama, and like the reason they cast Josh back 100 times because he's a drama filled person. Like, I mean, Jose's kind of also not always drama. Like sometimes he just kind of does nothing. But I don't know. It's just like they've had Shane, like they've had so many gay men before that have been entertaining on the show, and for whatever, I don't know what reason, if anyone knows, explain it to me, they don't end up getting, you know, the callback as often as some other people. So it feels like it takes a lot for these guys to stick on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like fully to, feel like, you know, it's gonna happen.
I'd like to see that be different, obviously. And I don't know. I just felt like the way that it got acknowledged in like some of his confessionals made me think that, like, you know, wouldn't you want to like reward this person that like did give you like a really good run in this, in his time on the show? Like, wouldn't you want to give him an opportunity again, and say that like this person deserves like representation? But again, I don't know. I know very little about how the decision making goes for these you know, seasons. Like, I don't know why some people come back and others don't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would personally be happy to see Corey again. So I don't know.
As far as the partner picking goes here, Huey and Amber, who both won the elimination, are obviously going to have the opportunity to either stay with their partner or pick someone new. Huey's going to go first, and Ashley, like we mentioned earlier, is very much hoping to not be chosen by Huey to be returned to. So she gets her wish, and Huey's going to pick Nani, saying that, you know, Nani is like a pretty neutral party. She's not the most, you know, the best competitor in the cast, which is fair, but she is a very social player, and that hopefully could put him in a better spot. So I don't think it's the worst pick. I don't think it's like, you know, any kind of outstanding pick, but it's fine. It's Nani. It's, you know, what harm are you going to do there?
I mean, at this point, I almost wonder if like there's a certain strategy to like picking someone that you don't necessarily think is going to get stolen from you next week, because that's kind of how Corey and Michelle got screwed.
Right. That's a good point.
So, you know, like with him picking Nani, that it's like, I might be able to just kind of like hide behind Nani for like a couple weeks, and like they're going to run out of options of like trying to pair up like rookies together so that they can just throw them in again. Mm-hmm. So I don't hate it from that perspective. I don't know if that was, you know, any part of the rationale for Huey, but yeah.
And then, and then Amber's going to end up picking Devin. So we have,
for that reason,
exactly,
right? Because so that they can make sure that Emmy and Gabo are now a team, so that basically they can just give them the Michelle and Corey treatment next week. So yeah.
Big loss though for our good friend Brian Scally, who in the must lose draft continues 3 weeks now to be gaining points. You don't want to gain points in this. He's losing. Is he gaining points? No, he's losing points for Devin constantly being stolen as a partner. So not doing a whole lot of favors for his draft team. The fact that Devin has now been picked back to back to back to back to back or whatever.
I like the choices. Like I mean, I would pick Devin if I were in that situation. Like, but I don't know.
We know you would, Jenny. And so would I. So that's fine. We are trash.
I accept this fate of mine.
Same. I always have, and I hopefully always will. So yeah, those are the new partners. It's Huey with Nani, Gabo with Emmy, Amber with Devin, and you know, as Josh was really hoping would happen. So we'll see how this all plays out going the next week, especially with the Fessy and Josh drama that is going to, like, we tied up the Kyle and Devin thing. Huey and Corey is over because Corey's now gone, but Fessy and Josh are both still in the game. Josh is pissed off at him, so there's going to be some more on this next week.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, like Fessy is still calling Josh's best friend, and Josh is calling him an enemy. So we'll see if they're able to mend that fence. And, you know, yeah. And what's Amber going to do? You know what I mean? Like, she literally just got put into this position by Fessy. So, you know, is are people going to turn on Fessy? Are like Nelson and Corey W. I guess we don't have to call him Corey W. Corey now W. because now there's
the
only
fact
one
that
Corey.
They're still calling her Amber B. Like so focused, so
insane.
Like intense.
I'm like, she's the only Amber there.
She is literally the only Amber. It's like I get like once you start calling somebody something for like such a long period of time, like, it's like sick, it's essentially like a nickname at this point.
Yeah.
But the fact that like. Fessy is just having this conversation with Josh being like Amber B, Amber B, Amber B. And I think someone in confessional was saying Amber B. I was like, she's the only Amber. Like,
like the new people are probably like, what, why are we calling her Amber B? Like, she's just, she's the only Amber here.
Yeah. It's like Amber B, what? Amber B, I don't know. I don't know. I guess Amber is going to be Amber B for her challenge career. As long as
she
this lasts
be Amber
her.
B.
She really does be Amber B.
Yeah, exactly.
Quick draft update. Let me just run through this super quick for anyone that is following along. The must lose draft. We got the update. Shout out to Brian and Allie for sending this along right before we got on here. Allie and Scally both had a better week than they had been previously. Allie is on the board with 2.5 points now. Scally with 2 points. I won't bore everybody with the details as to like where those points all came from, but I had no change in my points this week. I'm still at 15, and Brian Cohen gained some points, so he's at 13.5. Long story short, Scally and I are in the lead by 1 point over Brian and Allie. So as far as the other draft goes, with Haley and Colin, we have I am in a very slight lead over Scally. I have 50 points if I'm doing all this math right. Scally is 47, so we'll enjoy that while I can. Still haven't lost a team member, so that's my favorite part about these drafts when I can go a couple weeks in without losing anyone. Haley and Colin both have 31 points, so that's that. Shout out to all drafters.
My draft.
How are you doing
in a great
yours?
State? I did because I do a random Nuple draft, of right. course. I've lost Michelle now. Obviously, I've drafted Michelle, and I think my last pick was Renan, so he went in the first episode. So it's not great, but it's okay. Well, I got some good people. It's fine.
What are you
it's
gonna
fine.
Do? It's fine. I don't know. I think that's the end of my notes here. Anything else that we didn't talk about on your end of things?
I don't think so. I think we went through it.
We went through it, indeed.
We went through it together.
Went through a lot there. Yeah. It was definitely a good episode. A lot of drama. Not as much as it still was like two rookies going home, and especially a rookie that we were all sad to be losing. Still got a lot out of this one, and I don't know. Hopefully, the upcoming weeks are just as exciting.
Yeah, I feel like this like episode, especially with how it ended, I felt like is going to set things up for hopefully, you know, a little bit more activity in upcoming episodes. There's at least more storylines within the Vet Alliance now that the cracks are there. So I'm hoping that things pick up a little bit and that it's not just a continued slaughtering of the rookies because... That's not super fun to watch, but...
Yeah, not the most fun.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Well, like, why are you bringing all these people in? Like, it's, like, so many... Like, we started off with more rookies than vets, right? Like, and... Yeah. Yeah, they're just like, oh, well, we got to even out these numbers. It's like, yeah, that's what happens when you make it like this. Anyway. I'm not in production. Why am I complaining?
We should be, though.
I mean, I wouldn't make these decisions, but...
If, like, production for a reality show was, like... called you tomorrow and said, hey Jenny, we want you to work for us, would you just like drop your job and go? Or like,
ooh, I don't know, I would have to see the offer. I would really have to see. I like job security, so right. I don't know if I could make that risk, but you know, I don't know,
maybe casting. I would love to cast
for
these shows and like make my own fantasy cast come to life.
Yeah, and I just love meeting people, so I think that I would actually really enjoy casting, but
I don't know about that one for me, but remember that brief period in time when we thought we were the same Enneagram number? There's a lot of similarities, but
there's overlapping traits.
There's so much with the twos and the fours, but then once I finally figured out my true fordom,
it all made sense.
And Chappelle was trying to lead me astray, but eventually we got there.
There's nothing wrong with that.
We had such a long phone call where he told me that I was a two.
I mean, you definitely have two traits,
but it's just, it was misleading.
I know, it's very confusing. It's a journey, okay? And learning about yourself is like a lifelong journey. You'll continue to learn things about yourself, Matt.
He asked me so many questions, and I did not want to answer every question. He's like, "We're not stopping this until you answer the questions." I was like, "All right, we're gonna be here a while." So one day when I sign up for when I find myself a therapist, I'm sure that'll go over super well too. As I get asked questions and just sit there and blankly stare. So I don't know how we got here, but Jenny, thank you so much for jumping in this week in place of our friend Scally, who will hopefully be back next week. I don't know if I'll be back next week because we're in such weird schedules right now, but so happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you again. I mean, I've been looking forward to an opportunity to talk about the challenge. I've never like poked anyone to be like, hey, can I come on and talk? even though I am watching it, I'm just not tweeting about it. It was really great to be able to talk about it with you and just to be able to podcast with you because I don't think I've had that opportunity. So yeah, I had a great time.
So yeah, we'll have to really do it again sometime.
Yes,
for
definitely.
Sure. It has been so
much
fun.
I'll come back anytime.
All right. Well, we will be knocking at some
okay.
point. So anything else going on in your world right now? What have you been doing lately? I know that you were with Kirsten recently.
Yeah. So Kirsten and I just wrapped up our coverage of HBO Max's F-Boy Island. Took us a little while to get through the last four episodes. We both busy time, you know, we all have stuff going on in our lives. So, so it took us a little bit to finish that, but that got into everyone's feeds on Monday. So if you haven't checked that out, I highly recommend it. If you get around to watching the show, if you haven't yet, I really recommend it. I thought if you like any of like the dating shows, but think some of them are a little too corny, I really enjoyed F-Boy Island. We had a really fun time podcasting about that. So check that out if you haven't already. And other than that, just kind of occasional poking in to RHAP for coverage for Big Brother 23. And other than that, just living my friggin' life, and that's it.
Living your life. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On Twitch and on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
At Jenny Autumn.
At Jenny Autumn. Follow me if you don't already. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think I'll be playing Among Us this weekend. So twitch.tv/JennyAutumn. Yeah.
Sounds good. I don't have anything to plug, and I'm going to keep it that way for a little bit longer as I wind down my busiest part of the year. But maybe eventually, you know, hopefully back into the swing of things with some other stuff, some other content. So, but for now, just kind of keeping it nice and relaxed with Challenge Talk, the most relaxing podcasting topic.
So relaxing.
Is available.
It's been relaxing for me. I've enjoyed it. It's
yeah.
Like,
It's been okay so far. So and a good episode this week. So that's all we got for this week. I'm of course on Twitter at Matt Liguori. If you are not following Scally, at Brian_Scally. And that's all that we have for this week. So until next time, thank you guys for listening, and take care, everybody.